Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more discussing important topics in higher education, research, student life, and other topics in the academy. It's part of our partnership with KWBU-FM. You can hear this show every Friday morning at 11 a.m. on KWBU-FM and online at baylor.edu/connections. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Brian Webb. Dr. Webb is Baylor University's Chief Investment Officer. He leads a team responsible for the university's endowment, most notably, as well as other long-term assets. Prior to returning to his alma mater in 2010, Dr. Webb was a managing director of UBS Global Asset Management. He has also taught courses at three universities, including Baylor. And Dr. Webb, we're glad to have you on the program today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Derek. Pleasure to be with you.
Dr. Webb, what does your role as Baylor's Chief Investment Officer entail, and what does it mean to you to be entrusted with such an important role in the strength of your alma mater?
Well, quite simply, it literally is just to maximize the long-term value of the endowment and other long-term investments. You know, I started my career on two different campuses, one in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and then followed by Bloomington, Indiana, and it's always great to be on campus. It's just the energy of the students that they bring. It's nice to be there. I was pulled away for 17 years into the investment management business, and it's been terrific to return to campus life here at Baylor, my alma mater, and to be able to hopefully help in carrying out the mission of our university. The chief investment officer role in general at any university is basically to maximize the long-term value of any investable long-term assets that the university has, and that predominantly is going to be the endowment.
Well, let's talk about the endowment here, because that's a phrase a lot of us mainly only have a vague notion of what an endowment truly is at a university. So let's make this part of the program a little endowment 101 here. What is the purpose of an endowment at a university? How does it work?
You know, concisely, the purpose is to basically address both the affordability and the competitiveness issues that all universities encounter. And it basically does that through annual distributions off of the endowment that basically our regents have specified, and it's pretty typical across the United States, that endowments distribute 5% of their value each year. And so that 5% supports both scholarships and fellowships and just other important initiatives of the university. The other aspect of an endowment is that in addition to those distributions is that we maintain the purchasing power. And so basically our investment returns on the endowment have to distribute the 5%, and they have to keep the endowment up with inflation over time. We talk about endowments as they're a single entity, but in fact, there are 4,477 different endowed funds at Baylor
today.
A lot of different donors have given their hard-earned dollars to Baylor, and we carry a heavy fiduciary responsibility to those donors. We strive our best to be good stewards of their money, and appreciate what they have done for the long-term benefit of the university.
You've just described to us what an endowment is, but what isn't an endowment for? Are there common misconceptions that you find?
Yeah, I think some of the donors are concerned that we use it as a rainy day fund, that when there is financial stress at the university level, it will tap into the endowment to a heavier degree. And that's actually not the case. Basically, the endowment is there for perpetuity. Or as Bill Doobie is famous in saying, until God calls us all home. And so there is no tapping into the endowment for crisis. It literally continues to meet the purposes that the donors have dictated for each of their funds with those 5% distributions. And again, our responsibility is to make sure that we keep that purchasing power over time.
So let's go back to the beginning. How and when did Baylor's endowment get started?
Yeah, we've got about 50 years of data on the endowment, and we know that back in the early 1970s, the endowment was about $25 million at that point in time. It's all the way up to $1.3 billion today, and so there's been substantial growth. But to put it into perspective, Harvard has the largest endowment at over $36 billion in the United States. And they literally started their endowment back in the 1700s. So they've been at the growth a little bit longer than we have. But we've got some catching up to do to catch up with them.
Well, Baylor's endowment is at $1.3 billion. What does a number like that mean to you?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's certainly a significant large number. And it's, you know, again, one that we carry the heavy fiduciary responsibility to make sure that we maintain that value and enhance it with inflation over time. But in other ways, and in that regard, it is the largest asset on Baylor's balance sheet. And so it is significant, but it's too small when you start looking at it on a per-student basis. Baylor now has around 17,000 students on campus and across our various campuses, including the nursing school up in Dallas. When you look at it on a per-student basis, we're at about $75,000 per student. That's about half what SMU and TCU have on a per-student basis, and only about a tenth of what Notre Dame has. And so we have some growth that we need to have with our endowment.
We are talking with Dr. Brian Webb, Baylor's Chief Investment Officer, a little Endowment 101 here on Baylor Connections. So you talk about it not being as much per student. What does that mean, though, in the health of a university? How does that compare maybe to other universities as well?
Well, just following those same examples forward, if you think about SMU and TCU, basically they have about $4,000 more per year per student coming off of the endowment with a 5% distribution than Baylor does. And so we start that much behind those universities, and Notre Dame has over $30,000 per student per year coming off of their endowment with that 5% distribution. And so you're just starting behind in your ability to cover all of the operating expenses, your ability to give scholarships. You've got to make those dollars up somehow, some way.
Well, a little bit later on, we can talk a little bit about how we make those dollars up. But I want to ask you, as you talked about people who gave generously to help fund this endowment when it was $25 million all the way now to when it's $1.3 billion. Let's talk about what it means when people give gifts a little bit. How does a gift to the endowment, how does that differ from more common gifts to, say, the Bear Foundation for student scholarships or to student scholarships in general?
Well, the biggest difference is that gifts to the Bear Foundation and other annual gifts are, in fact, that. They're one-time gifts. They're used for whatever the stated purpose is of the gift, but they're used up in very short order. Endowed funds, once they're established, basically, again, are going to be into perpetuity. They're going to allow the university to carry out its mission over the infinite life of the university. But also benefit current students. And so it's not just preparing for the future, but it's a combination of both. And if you think about the amount of distributions at 5%, within 15 years, your gift will have distributed as much as it would have on a one-time basis. Over that 15-year period, it would have doubled in value, and it will continue to give increasing amounts to the university from that time forward. And so it has the value of compounding in finance is just terrific. And to have it working in your favor is something that it's hard to argue against.
You mentioned the recently retired Bill Doobie, a longtime Baylor employee. You talked about he did a lot of great work in building endowed scholarship funds. That's been a big push of Baylor over the course of this decade at times in particular. Are endowed scholarships, are those part of the endowment or are those separate?
Those are definitely part of the endowment. Basically, they are part of what helps us to address the affordability issue. Student debt across the United States is just growing at a very high rate, and it's something that the entire country is having to get our arms around, and universities are having to start to think about ways to keep tuition from increasing as rapidly going forward as they have in the past. Basically, any endowed scholarship fund is providing dollars to the students that they don't have to pay in tuition, and so it helps from an affordability standpoint. But it also, the two goals of the endowment that we talked about earlier were both affordability, to help with affordability, and then with the overall competitiveness of the university. And again, it's just hard to compete with other universities that have more coming off of their endowment. You've got to make those dollars up some way. And, there's a lot of talk across all universities. We're all feeling the stress about how do we generate some additional revenue? What are some additional sources of revenue for each of our universities? But it's not like the Notre Dames of the world are going to sit there and say, well, we're covered with our endowment, so we'll leave those additional revenues to Baylor. We're going to be competing tooth and nail with those universities for those additional dollars as well. And so it really is a storehouse of wealth that compounds over time that gives you a competitive edge.
We are talking about the endowment with Baylor's Chief Investment Officer, Dr. Brian Webb. And Dr. Webb, let's envision, let's just say 20 years from now, maybe there's a student who's planning on coming to Baylor. Let's just say that Baylor's endowment does substantially grow, like you would like it to see in the course of that time. What would a larger endowment mean to a student coming down the line 10 or 15 years from now?
Well, I mean, clearly, many students literally cannot afford to come to Baylor, or if they do, and have to rack up significant debt. And so the more tuition dollars that can come from the endowment through scholarships, it'll allow students that wouldn't be able to come otherwise to attend Baylor as we develop these Christian leaders. But it will also allow them to leave this university with a manageable level of debt that allow them to get on with the mission that they're called for.
So in a lot of ways, that endowment can help tackle some of the biggest issues we're talking about, in you know, whether it's student debt, like you said, or maybe some of the other ways that Baylor serves the community or the broader world.
Oh, absolutely. It is the primary way to address these issues, and it's one that the region certainly are focusing on. And we, you know, we've had a long-term aspirational goal of having the endowment at $2 billion. We're to a point now that it needs to be even larger than that. I think I'm very encouraged at the present time, quite honestly, that with the initiatives, the academic initiatives that President Livingstone is laying out for our university, which really need to be funded with endowed funds. We can't set up these academic programs relying on annual contributions to support them. They really do have to have a fundamental base from endowed giving to move forward with them. And so the endowment, I think, will grow because of the initiatives that are being laid out by President Livingstone. And then I'm also very encouraged. We've got a head of development, Dave Roselli, that we were able to hire away from USC, University of Southern California. And that is a university that basically has a fairly significant endowment. Their endowment's over $5 billion in size. And they've done it with unabashed movement in the direction of requesting gifts to the endowment. And I think that's what is going to have to happen here at Baylor, and I think Dave is the right person to get that done.
That's great. We're talking to Dr. Brian Webb. He is Baylor's Chief Investment Officer, a Baylor grad who returned to his alma mater in 2010. And Dr. Webb, I want to jump ahead here a little bit to ask you, you know, you mentioned Baylor's initiatives going forward. We're going to be hearing a little bit more later on this month about Illuminate, Baylor's roadmap for the future. What role will your office play in that, and what impact could Illuminate have on some of these goals that you've talked about?
Well, certainly all of us in our office care deeply about the overall mission of the university and supporting that mission and the initiatives that are being laid out to carry that mission out. And so we'll do whatever we can, but our specific office, our responsibility basically is to help fund those. And to do that, what we can do is basically generate the highest level of return possible for the amount of risk that the regents are comfortable with us taking with the university's endowed dollars over time. And so that certainly is the focus of our office.
Well, let's talk about managing those resources now. You know, we talk about you as the chief investment officer, but you've got a great team along with you. How do you all work together to manage those resources, to determine an acceptable level of risk, and to help grow the endowment?
Yeah, as far as acceptable risk, I mean, basically the Board of Regents sets out an investment policy that prescribes the asset allocation that we should follow. It's within ranges, and so we've got plenty of flexibility to maximize the returns in different market environments. But it does, by giving us those asset allocations, it sort of specifies the amount of risks that they're expecting us to take. And it's not that you hold that risk constant through time. Given various market conditions, at times you want to take excessive risk if markets are really at lower prices. At other times you want to pull back and have less than average risk. And we try to control that depending on what the market's willing to give us at a given point in time. If you look across endowments across the United States, the three things that make the ones that are most successful in generating performance, higher returns, the commonalities that you see are a strong and stable investment team, a strong and stable investment committee, and then access to the best investment managers around the globe. And if we sort of walk through each of those three things, we currently have – we're touching all of those pretty effectively right now. Our investment team includes Dave Moorhead. Dave and his family were willing to move down from Chicago. He has an MBA from the University of Chicago, worked for a number of hedge funds in the city, and decided he wanted to switch sides of the table and come help a Christian university to grow its endowment. So we're very lucky to have Dave. Quite honestly, I've worked with a lot of very strong investors in my during the course of my career. I would honestly say Dave is the strongest that I've ever worked with.
Wow.
And so we're very lucky to have Dave on staff. Renee Hanna is played college softball before coming to Baylor and graduating from Baylor. She is very smart and also very competitive, and those are two things that are very important in the investment world. And Renee has basically been able to open the door for Baylor to gain access to some of the best investment managers around the globe. And that hasn't always been the case. And so it's we're able to access and tap better talent as we move forward. And, you know, that's the third thing is access to those best investment managers. One part of that is identifying which are the best. And in doing so, you know, certainly you're looking at investment track record and their ability basically to outperform over full business cycles. There's no manager that outperforms all of the time. And so you just have to recognize what their investment strategy is, what you're hiring them to invest in, what types of returns you would expect as you put those two together. And as long as they're satisfying that and over the full cycle they outperform, then you should be satisfied with them. And I think our investment managers really appreciate that fact, that we understand what they're doing and sort of the timing of where those returns come from. And we've been able to tap into, and we've got we actually have 75 different investment managers in the portfolio, and we consider them to be the best and brightest out there.
That's great. How do, as you look at, when we hear in the news the market is up, the market is down, how do those fluctuations impact what you do? And when we hear news stories about the market being up like it is now, what impact does that have on Baylor at the moment?
Well, the markets certainly have been strong for the last 2 years, and it has allowed our endowment to provide over $100 million of investment income to the endowment that rolls back into the endowment. Now, we're then distributing the 5% off, and we do that on a monthly basis. So literally our office has to generate and provide back to the university over $5 million a month is what we send to the university to help support all of the scholarships and fellowships and initiatives. But, you know, basically all that we can do is basically react to what the market is willing to give at any given point in time. Our goal is to outperform the best we can. And we've been able to do that at a pretty high level for the past several years. We've got a benchmark across all of the different asset classes that we're invested in. And basically, we've been able to outperform that benchmark by over 150 basis points per year for the last several years. To give you, the listeners, some perspective on that, the benchmark itself, if we just achieve benchmark level returns, it would put us in the top quartile of all endowments across the United States. If we beat it by 100 basis points or 1%, basically it'll put us in the top 10%. And as we get to that 150 basis points to 200 basis points, it starts to put us into the top 2 to 5%. Wow. So you're starting to rub elbows with the Yales and the of the world, which are tough competition. But it's what we're striving to do. We're trying to go toe to toe with the best of the best.
When you go into work and think about trying to strive with the best of the best, obviously that's an exciting opportunity and a big challenge. What does it mean to you to try to reach those heights?
As I mentioned earlier, you have to be incredibly competitive in the investment management world. Everyone is, and so we're all striving to be the best. But with that said, you have to be very careful of not exposing yourself to too much downside. If you do just go for the highest possible return, and you do see some endowments that do that, they do it by just loading on additional risk. And as long as the markets are going strong like they have for the last 2 years, that pays off pretty well. But whenever you do have something like the financial crisis, your portfolio just isn't positioned to be able to accommodate that. And so we're very mindful of building in downside protection as we think about where we place dollars through the year. We try to make sure that all of the investments have more upside potential than they have downside risk. And as long as we've got that positive tilt going across all of our investments, or at least a broad majority of those investments, then at the end of the day, we're going to be successful.
We are visiting with Dr. Brian Webb, Baylor's Chief Investment Officer. And Dr. Webb, as we wind down on the program, I think you've already painted this picture well over the course of the program, but I ask you more specifically on our final question here. And someone says, what is Baylor's overall financial health? Fill in the blank. Baylor's overall financial health is?
It's very strong. You know, certainly the past couple of years have been a little more of a challenge, as I know some of the others on your program have talked about. But we had enough downside protection at the university level with reserves already in place to cover that. And so we haven't had to go into increasing debt. The endowment continues to perform very well, which is helping. And I would say that we're very strong and stable.
And now we get to look forward to Illuminate and other exciting initiatives in the month ahead that you're going to be a part of.
Absolutely.
Well, Dr. Brian Webb, thank you very much for joining us today. I think, again, endowment is a topic that, you know, I could have talked about for about 10 or 15 seconds and then lost track of where I was going. I've learned a lot today, so I hope a lot of our listeners have as well.
Thank you. It was nice being with you today.
Thank you. Dr. Brian Webb, Baylor University's Chief Investment Officer, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. Thank you for joining us. Reminder that you can hear this and other Baylor Connections programs online, baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe online at the iTunes Music Store.